Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Adam Bartusik from the Crappie Chronicles back on the show. We've had him on a few times before. If you're not familiar with the Crappie Chronicles or Adam, go to YouTube and search for the Crappie Chronicles. It'll bring you to Bart's YouTube page, and you can binge watch the first five seasons that they've done already. You'll also, if you do this, you know, this right now, the first week of November, you'll probably find some fresh videos, never-before-seen footage that he'll be putting out right now that they filmed at Super Late Ice last year. Some great stuff coming out there. We chat about it in the podcast. We chat about the upcoming filming schedule for the Crappie Chronicles and a bunch of other topics. Of course, we get into the fishing and also something that Adam has been doing for a long time, raising money for St. Jude's and doing some fundraisers there, some cool events there, and just a way to give back a little bit to a great cause. Something that Adam's been doing a great job with, so we chat about that as well. So tons of great stuff in this podcast, and it's just a kind of an annual thing. Whenever ice fishing is either kicking into gear or it's just on the horizon like it is right now, the industry is going to be buzzing about ice fishing stuff until it starts happening. The ice fishing show season is going to be going on, and all the get-togethers are going to be happening in anticipation of ice season, and this conversation is just like that. It's just another way to kind of kick off the ice fishing vibes. So let's do it here. Another one with Adam Bartusik from Crappie Chronicles on the JMO Podcast. The waterfall hunting opportunities here in the state of North Dakota are incredible. It's a tradition for so many friends and families to get together and spend this quality time in the field. But to be a great hunter also means to be a great steward of the land. I'm talking about being very respectful to landowners. And don't leave trash in the field. Definitely don't clean your birds and then throw carcasses back in the field. If you do encounter gates, make sure you leave them exactly how you found them, whether that is up or down. Hunting is such a wonderful component to North Dakota's legacy, and we need to keep it that way. So let's all agree this fall to hunt hard, hunt fair, and hunt for tomorrow. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations. And to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com and get all that. We're talking about the lodging and restaurant options and just the lay of the land and everything going on in the community. There's all kinds of stuff all summer long going on in and around the community of Devil's Lake. That link is in the description. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. All right, Adam, we're rocking and rolling here. I look forward to these every single like fall season, whenever it comes about the last couple of years, because I get to talk to you. I get to get little like industry updates and life updates. And then we get to talk about one of my favorite winter topics on this podcast is what you do with the Crappie Chronicles. I want to get right into the big status update. How's it going with you? I know you had some big things going on this fall. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's always good to be back. I always kind of, On my calendar, it's like a check mark, basically, of like, okay, ice season's coming is when I hop on the podcast with you.
Yeah, man.
It's coming. It's inevitable at this point. But yeah, so for me, the fall, we're at the end of October now. October for me has just been a whirlwind. I got married at the beginning of the month, which was awesome. And then I had three other weddings, a mini moon. Like, October basically didn't exist to me. I would say a normal person life, you know, like I just went and did normal people things. I went to weddings. I kind of worked a bit at home. traveled, like did that stuff. Normally in a month where like I love fall fishing and I love to spend a ton of time on the water, I didn't really get to, and that's just, you know, life gets in the way every once in a while, but it was for all the good reasons.
For sure.
Super excited about that. And kind of my last open water year, to be honest, like I had the St. Jude Bass Plastic in the spring. That went really well with Pangrack. Did a film on that that went over really well. Fished the Minnetonka Classic with Griff, won that, which was awesome. But dude, other than that, most of my summer was honestly like working on the Classic Bass Champions Tour and kind of laying low just because, you know, wedding in the fall. I know I got, you know, how much stuff I got coming up this winter. And I've kind of slowly been transitioning my business, I would say, from being like, you know, everybody sees me doing the Crappie Chronicles and everything, which is great. So I do all this YouTube generation and everything in the winter. But then in the summer, I basically switch back over to doing client work and like some type of tournament fishing. But I've really just been trying to like get it set up so that, you know, when I get done with winter, I can just keep making videos for myself. Like I really just want to kind of do my own thing in the future. So that's kind of what this summer with the wedding coming up and everything was like, okay, like let me get this actually set up for the rest of my life and kind of quit screwing around with running around doing tournaments everywhere and everything, which I still love and I'm going to keep doing. But that's basically what my last open water year was. So yeah, a lot of fun, a lot of different things going on. Kind of excited to get back into the I'm excited to get back into the content space and just really get after it and get rolling now, kind of full head of steam.
So how does that work like for you? I mean, I know you guys are in touch all the time. You got Past the Barb podcast. I see you and Pink are like together all the time on that. But are you guys like close year round? Are these conversations happening year round, or is there sort of like a starting line to the season where you guys do like a first team huddle and kind of do like, you know, like the status updates that way? How does that work, like the planning process for the season?
Yeah, I would say kind of both is the best way that kind of goes. So there is obviously like we're just great friends, like, and we were all great friends before we even started really filming it. So or, you know, Pink might have not known Waldo and Griff at that point, but we all knew each other, whatever. We were friends beforehand. So we're always talking all year. But I think kind of the way the year goes is like, say the season ends, right, when we're done filming videos March 1st or whatever. Typically, we kind of have like a St. Jude fundraiser, which that changed for this coming year. And we can talk about that, too, because that'll be pretty exciting for a lot of people. But typically in March, we kind of have an end of the year beer bash with a bunch of people, hang out, do our thing. And typically around there, we'll also have like a meeting or two in March with everybody, just kind of to recap the year, kind of look at it and be like, everyone happy. Normally we all just kind of, to put it lightly, we kind of just bitch and moan a little bit about, man, that was really hard. Holy cow. I spent a lot of time on the ice. We worked really hard and like, it's super successful and fun and we're very happy with it, but it's also like, I am good. Like I have scratched my ice fishing itch and I'm done. And then kind of like, we just talk about, you know, maybe new sponsors we want to partner with in the coming years. And kind of, I would say like, at that point, like Waldo, Griff and Pink kind of like step away from the table for the summer and fall. And like, I keep talking to them and I'm like, hey, what do we think of this? Or what are we thinking here? But like, I kind of handle like the sponsor meetings, going to meeting with people. Like we might have a meeting with Clam that like all the guys will show up to, but normally kind of in the summer and stuff, we're not really talking about the Chronicles or anything too much. We're just talking about whatever's going on in our lives, going bass fishing, going to bachelor parties or like, you know what I mean? Whatever. Yeah. So, typically in about September, like it happened again this year, and I'm sure it'll happen again shortly, actually, we'll normally have like two meetings in the fall. Like one is like we all get together at a bar, sit down, and I have like 20 things that we got to roll through real quick. And we just kind of get the ball rolling. And then, yeah, heading into December here, or November, December, we'll probably have another meeting just to be like, all right, when everything good, everybody got everything they need to kind of go. Because for us, it's kind of a weird deal as well, because, and I'm sure you get this too. You have show season and then actual filming season. So, like, right now is a ton of like busy work, like promoting shows, making marketing graphics, weird stuff like that. And I think we all just really look forward to like the St. Paul Ice Show and the St. Paul Ice Show finishing, because once that done, we kind of just wipe our hands and we're like, okay, we're filming now. And then we don't really have to worry about anything else. We're just going fishing, filming, and editing. So that's kind of how the year goes on our end. But yeah, every year it becomes more and more and more of like a full-time thing compared to like when it started and it was like, oh, let's go do this 1 month and see how it goes, you know?
Yeah, I mean that's like such a fun kind of description of the evolution of the success of the Crappie Chronicles. I like the business side of things just becomes so much more and more serious and ramped up. Now you guys are kind of built for it because you had like, before Crappie Chronicles started, I mean you were seasoned veterans really as young men. But yeah, dude, that's super interesting. One question though, like at what point in time is the location, the destinations, the places that you're gonna go, like when does that roster like solidify itself? Do you guys have that like are you super pre-planned where when the season starts, you pretty much have a really, really good idea of everywhere you're gonna try to go and hopefully the time like a hopeful time frame of when you're gonna do it, or are you a little bit more fluid than that throughout the season?
Yeah, I would so too. I mean, so the last couple of years we've been largely metro based again. And then 2 years ago we had that winter that like never showed up. So that was like asterisk of really weird. Obviously everybody had to make adaptations that year. But like last year we were pretty metro based. We went to Hayward, and that was fun, but kind of now we're getting back to what we did season three, which is where we traveled a bunch again. And that's kind of like going to be the future of the series is traveling a lot more so that we don't burn ourselves out and we're able to kind of go chase new bites and do new things. But I would say, so like, I think it kind of changes each year a little bit. But like, for example, this coming year, we kind of we knew like two of the locations basically at the conclusion of last year. Like we're already, like we're talking about where to go the next year while the current year is happening. So we're always thinking pretty far ahead there. But there is always a thing too where if something comes up, we're always down to go chase it down. So like, like when we did the Red Lake video, like I have not had that pre-planned. We just kind of got back and I had known that it was starting to blow up more and more. And kind of from the rumors I had heard around the area, it was kind of like a thing of, hey, this is going to get out in the next year or two. So do you guys just want to come film it and film it the right way? And we're like, sure, let's go do that. So that was one where we just like on a Wednesday, we're like, hey, we're going to go up to Red Lake this weekend. But for the most part, we have it pretty planned out. I would like this year, for example, I have the barring any crazy weather situations, right? I have the trips and where we're going planned, like the dates and everything. And that's also because, like, I would like to be able to be more fluid with it, and I could be personally, but like Pink and Waldo have like regular jobs. So like they have to take time off and plan for that. And Griff, he has a great job as well. He works for a friend of ours doing tile work, and he's a lot more flexible than I would say a regular person. But even still, like he kind of needs to know ahead of time. So there's a difference when like we're leaving for 5 to 7 days compared to like, on a random Wednesday, the conditions are right, and it's like, hey, can anyone call in sick today and make it? But yeah, that's typically kind of how that planning goes.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it's cool how that stuff comes out in the content too. You do a good job of it, but I just like hearing you kind of describe it. Kind of gives a little bit of texture to, you know, like binge watching your stuff, you know, those trips where you have a ton of pre-planning, you know, you know way in advance, and all the things that would go into that are so relatable to people that do destination trips that, you know, they're ready for 2 months, you know, for like, you know, this planned trip of the winter. But then also too, when you guys just get together, you know, two or three of you get together and you go hit those Metro Lakes that are, you know, after work, and you just go hit those evening bites. It's like, it's fun to see how you operate in all those spaces. So I feel like that plays out too. I just kind of speaking like a fan of like, I like that there's a little bit of everything kind of mixed in, and that you're down to film like all of it and show like your style of fishing, you know, in all of those circumstances. I feel like that's that definitely adds something to me anyways.
Yeah, and that's like a thing, you know, that's what we want to like, not to say like we get back to, because like I feel like we've done a really good job with everything over all the years of kind of adapting, keeping it fresh and doing new stuff too. But like with this full 18 incher chase, like especially the last 2 years, like for us, it's felt like, okay, just literally beating our head against a wall going like, how many times do I have to hook one and lose one or like whatever before we finally get one on film? And then, you know, now having last winter, like catching 2 17.5s that are over, you know, well over 3 pounds, it's like, we're kind of like, okay, now, you know, obviously we'll want an 18 because we've said an 18 forever, which I wish we would have said 17, but whatever, that's beside the point. You know, we're going to keep trying to get an 18, but kind of at this point now it's like, okay, like I'm satisfied with that to some level. And I'm going to keep chasing it. But now it's like, okay, we have other video ideas and things we want to go do and bites we want to chase, where it can get a little more fresh than like, okay, we're on these low density small lakes where if, you know, the wrong three people are out here today, we're not even going to be able to go catch one because they're also talented and the fish are getting pushed around. Mm-hmm. So you know what I mean? It's, and everybody's getting better, and which is cool. Everybody's catching more big crappies. Everybody's catching and releasing more crappies. That's kind of what the whole push has been for us all along. Is I've been a big believer in, if you want people to practice selective harvest, you have to show yourself doing it. Like it's one thing to say like, oh, I only eat 10 to 12 inch crappies. But then like, you never really film a show of you catching bigger ones and releasing them. So like that kind of has always been our thing. Like we go to these lakes, we catch, you know, 14 to 17 inch crappies, show ourselves releasing them, but then catching an 11 incher and being like, yeah, I'll keep that one. Like there's no harm in that. And it's actually good for fisheries. So yeah, kind of just keeping it fresh. We're excited for this winter and getting back to doing the, kind of the travel, the vlogging, the showing new places. Like being in Hayward last year was super fun for that. And just lake hopping new places, putting something together, and just kind of being on a timer of like, hey, we got 4 hours to figure out this place and catch a couple big fish. Let's see if we can do it. And sometimes you strike out and sometimes you don't. And I think that's why people like the series too. Like they see us strike out sometimes, which I think is, you know, that's fishing. We just show people like, hey, we do sometimes strike out too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you show it, you communicate it. And usually you're kind of having fun, you know, there's always like some lighthearted stuff too, that just kind of shows that you don't have to beat yourself up over having a tough day, because everybody has a tough day. But one thing, you know, talking about the fishing a little bit, you guys are set, you set that bar at that 18 inch mark. That's what you're trying to catch on film. Like from a fishing perspective and everything we're talking about here, like you guys traveling and keeping it fresh and bouncing around different locations. And I'm just envisioning, like, if you had a couple of bodies of water that you know where that 18 incher is, and it was only ever your goal to catch an 18 incher, you know, would camping out on that body of water and just, you know, just trying to put all that in, you know, like you say, beating your head against a wall, you know, to just finally someday catch that fish. Like, is there anything about maybe traveling that maybe is like sort of a, like a refreshing thing when you do get back on that, on those bodies of water where those giants are, or like, I don't even know what I'm kind of asking, but just sort of like a, from a fishing perspective, like how to try to appreciate, you know, the fishing that you guys kind of do everywhere, where, you know, maybe the chance of that 18 incher may or may not even exist at all. And you know that you just drove away from somewhere where it probably more likely exists. But does that ever factor in to the vibes, the energy, the motivation, maybe some of the ideas that get sparked up on another body of water and you bring it back, like the skill stacking? I'm just sort of curious if there's like something you could expand on there.
Yeah, I think so. Whenever you're traveling and fishing new bodies of water, especially with like three people, right? Three other people. So there's four of us. So we're constantly bouncing ideas off each other. As people have seen in the series too, like, you know, since we have a camera guy, Boots, now, and we had Logan and Luke before, like, we're much more, and like, I'm a very apt cameraman. I filmed the first two seasons of the series by myself. So like, we're much more apt now to split up. And I think that's what people have also enjoyed with the series. And for what sure. we've learned by splitting up is we can go to two very different bodies of water on the same day under the same conditions and be like, how are these fish acting? And I think what we've learned from traveling a ton is like everybody always says every lake is so unique and every day is completely different, but it really is. Like every lake is very, very, very unique. There are certain weather patterns that really ignite certain lakes, and there are certain weather patterns that don't. And like when you're talking, you know, you were talking about like if you wanted to catch an 18 incher, would you just camp out there and just wait there? Like we've tried that multiple times, like just being like, if we just sit here long enough, we'll catch one, and you don't. And I think actually more now than ever, what we've figured out, and I think it's, you know, one, it has to do with fishing pressure. There's just more people out getting after it, which is good. Like I said, we've done this forever to teach people how to do it. And there's still a bunch of lakes we go to where there's nobody out there and nobody knows where we are. But I would say with it is your best chance at catching like those really big ones actually are leaving them alone. Like really, it has been crazy. The more we've kind of dialed these fish in, they are really smart, like really smart. You know, there's a couple lakes around, you know, there's one lake around here where there was a handful of 17s and 18s caught last year. And, you know, those fish, like people started hearing about them, chasing them around, and they're catching and releasing them, which is awesome. Almost all those fish did. And there was people constantly out there chasing them. It was crazy to see how smart they got and like how much they eventually, like they wouldn't even swim away. Eventually they would just sit there and you would drop baits in their face and they just wouldn't even move. Mm-hmm. They didn't care. You could drop a minnow in their face. They did not care. They knew you were there. So I think the bigger thing now is giving them a break. I think that's your best opportunity. We've seen it with, you know, like where Griff caught the 3.5 pounder last year. There was a lot of pressure on that place early in the year last year. I popped a couple really big ones out there. We had a buddy who caught a couple really big ones, and we were kind of just waiting for the right situation to go out there. And we kept like wanting to force it because we knew what was in that body of water. And we kept going and there's pressure and the fish aren't acting right. And we're like, well, what's going on? And eventually we're like, dude, screw this. I'm not wasting my time with this place anymore. Like I'm beating my head against the wall. This is dumb. And we left it alone for like 3 weeks and kind of, you know, sure as shit, everyone else kind of left it alone too. And all of a sudden, you know, there's only a couple people out there and we see the, you know, conditions line up correctly. And I called Griff and I was like, hey dude, we need to go tomorrow. And we went and we had the best day of the year. And then we thought that the conditions were going to even be even better the next couple days, and we went back 3 days in a row. Because I mean, you catch a 3.5 pounder and like there's more of them around, you want to capitalize on it. And we went back 3 more days and the fishing got worse every day. And they kept getting smarter. And like by worse, I'm saying like we went from catching 20 fish that were 10 to 17 and a half inches, with a lot of them being 14 and a half to 16. We went from catching that to like two fish.
Yeah.
And then the next day, one fish. And then the next day, zero fish. And it's not like they moved, like, or they did move a bit, but like they just got really wary. You couldn't get on them. They knew what was going on. And yeah, so that's kind of, it's a long way of me saying, I think the best thing, if you really want to get one of those big ones, is like leaving them alone. Like if you, it's the hardest thing in the world, but if you know they're there, is leaving them alone for a while and then going and trying. That's your best opportunity, because it's crazy how fast they get smart.
The waterfowl hunting opportunities here in the state of North Dakota are incredible. It's a tradition for so many friends and families to get together and spend this quality time in the field. But to be a great hunter also means to be a great steward of the land. I'm talking about being very respectful to landowners. And don't leave trash in the field. Definitely don't clean your birds and then throw carcasses back in the field. If you do encounter gates, make sure you leave them exactly how you found them, whether that is up or down. Hunting is such a wonderful component to North Dakota's legacy, and we need to keep it that way. So let's all agree this fall to hunt hard, hunt fair, and hunt for tomorrow. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations, and to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com and get all that. We're talking about the lodging and restaurant options and just the lay of the land and everything going on in the community. There's all kinds of stuff all summer long going on in and around the community of Devil's Lake. That link is in the description. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. I guess for me, and maybe I'm overthinking it, but I feel like I think that's like a great sort of layer in a conversation like this when you're talking about big fish, and it's not just like crappies, but like anywhere that there's fishing pressure. And I think human nature too, and I'd be guilty of this, is like, you know, I'd be somebody that I could see myself in the past, you know, fishing a lake that's, you know, it's not like it's a big secret. There's plenty of other people out there, but I just, when I want to complain about fishing pressure, I'm complaining about other people being out there and probably never really, you know,
accounting for myself.
You know what I mean? It's like, I'm the guy that's like, I'm being selfish because I'm the guy that's out there every day, when in reality, I'm the dumb, I'm the knucklehead, and I need to look in the mirror. Like, I'm the one putting the most pressure on. So like, I'm the one that's like, you know, like crippling myself. And if it's a big enough body of water, just go fish other portions of the lake. And I think, you know, I think that's a very interesting layer. And I really appreciate your answer there. I hope like people can kind of get those gears turning that like, and maybe you live somewhere where there's only one place to go fish for whatever you like to fish for. You have a home body of water that you're just so stuck to, but you know, there's definitely a big factor, you know, like something that you could, you know, a tangible thing there that, you know, have a handful of lakes. Don't be scared to fish other bodies of water all the time. Even if you just had a great day and you're going to fish again tomorrow, I think there's an argument to be made that you could even leave a great bite to go try to find another great bite on another body of water. Cause yeah, you're never gonna. That's a bad way to put it. But like, it's so common that if you have a great bite, like you want to come back and fish that memory, it's not going to be as good. Like you caught them today.
Like, yeah, that's the thing we like talked about a bunch last winter. And like, as we've learned so much about whether it's crappies or bass or anything, there is no day that is ever as good as the first day as you go there. Like, I cannot think of a situation where we went and caught them and then went, let's go back tomorrow, and then we caught them better. Other than there was like one time in season 2 when Waldo and I stumbled on this lake where it was going down. But we got there at like the end of the bite window and we caught three big ones. And then it was like toast. They just weren't biting anymore. And then the next day it was insane. But that like after that day, it was never good again. So, or it was good again, but it wasn't ever that good. Caliber. Yeah. As much as we went back. So that's also like, that's why now, man, like with like apps like Onyx Fish, and I mean, you guys have Onyx now in North Dakota, and I think it just came out in South Dakota too.
It did.
But it's all over the Midwest now, and states have different levels of their fish surveys and data. But like, dude, there's so many options of places to go fish.
Yeah.
And in the winter, like the best thing about ice fishing is, you literally, as long as you can walk onto it, you can fish it. Like if it's public and you can put your boots on it, you can go fish it. So there's so many opportunities to go explore places. Like that's kind of our thing, and why we're getting back to traveling and doing so much stuff is, you know, when we're targeting this 18 incher, it feels like at times we're just going back to the same like 6 to 8 bodies of water over and over and over again, even though we know there's another 20 that have fished that caliber. We just know these ones so much better. So we're like, let's just get this done already. And then we can go explore more. But now that you, like I said, now that we've caught a couple of those really, really big ones, we're pretty happy about it. And now we can go explore. And that's when we feel like we put out the best content and everything too, is like, when we go out, we run into a bite and we're figuring it out on the fly and talking to people about it, compared to when we go to some of these places we know so well, it's kind of hard to like, what, you want me to talk about fishing an inside turn again for the 50th time? Like, and maybe they'll bite this time. You know what I mean? It's like, we want to go chase new bites all the time. And it's always for me, especially in the winter, it's just that chase of, I love finding a bite where like you're the first ones to experience it that year, or, you know, maybe ever, but that year or whatever it is. Cause it's just, it's so magical. Like last year when we were in Hayward, dude, like one of my, like we caught 2 17-inchers last year which is crazy, right? Caught like a 3.5-pounder that is literally the biggest crappie that's ever been put on camera, flat out. There's just not one bigger that's ever been filmed. Through the ice anyways, maybe right. Down south, but we caught 2 of those last year. And the number one memory we've talked about all ice season is last year when that first video from Hayward, when for 2 days we didn't like catch anything because it was so cold. And then we were about to pack up and leave. And like, we were walking across the lake and I looked at Griff and I was like, dude, let's just drill another hole. Like just to say we did. Like right here, so that we're not like, oh, what if we missed something in that corner or there? And we drilled a hole and we watched the whole lake ignite for 20 minutes. And we still talk about it now. It was the craziest thing we've ever seen. It was so much fun. It was 20 minutes of complete and utter chaos. But in a year where we caught 2 17-inch 3-pounders, we probably talk about that bite more than the other one because it was so much more memorable and so much fun.
You remind me, because were those fish laying on the bottom? Because I just remember you guys were going around with the Mega Live on that particular day. And then all of a sudden, the bottom 5 feet was like as far as your transducer was looking, like as far as your screen was, where they had been non-existent all day. So it was like, yeah, I don't remember exactly how that like materialized for you, but I just remember the forward sonar footage on that was just insane for that flash bite. They were just coming out of the bottom though?
Yeah, because we've talked about it. We're like, could we have caught them during the day if we just like sat there and dropped our baits all the way to the bottom? But like, honestly, I just think they were inactive. Like, and mm-hmm. That's part of too what we've learned a lot with as well is like, as much as people want to say forward facing sonar or whatever, you can always find fish. Like, dude, fish are, especially in the winter, they are so good at hiding. Like, they can hide in mud so good. There are so many situations where we've dropped our aqua views down now and been like, I think there's fish here. And then you drop down and there's 50 gigantic crappies sitting right there and they are belly on the bottom. And they're not going to bite. They're actually not going to bite at all. So you don't even have to, but like, there's no chance of getting them. Like, I don't know if they're asleep or like dormant, or I don't really know what it is, but they're like not even moving. It's like they're frozen. Yeah. So I think that's that same situation that we ran into there. And there was a very thin layer, like 6 inches to a foot of like sand grass almost. I don't really know what type of weeds it was. It might have been like old coontail or something. I don't know. It was some weeds I've only ever seen in northern Wisconsin. But I think they were just chilling in it. And then the sun got right and they just came up. And it was nuts. And they were like, we're going to eat for the next 30 minutes. And then once again, once it got down and it got dark, they just disappeared again. Like, they just sunk right back down. It was crazy. It was very crazy, but it was so fun. And that's like what ice fishing is, right? Like, it is chasing gigantic fish, which is super fun. We love doing that. But it's also the memories and the things you learn along the way. And like I said, I've caught hundreds, if not thousands, of 12 to 14 inch crappies now. And that that was all those were, 12 to 14 inch crappies.
Yep.
But it was so cool. It was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
And like, we were leaving the lake that day looking at each other like, God, that was awesome. Like, it was just vibes are so high. I just had a ball. So
yeah, it's not how you start. It's how you finish. So when you're walking off the lake and you've had a tough day, don't, No, man. Yeah, I like that stuff. You know, you talk about, like people want to get in the comment section and talk about, you know, content that's revolves with, you know, forward sonar or whatever. It's like, if you want to guarantee something about forward sonar, like, you know, as close to a guarantee as you can get, you can find fish, but we're still a long ways away from being able to guarantee you can find fish that are going to bite.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. There's, especially in the winter, there's a lot of really inactive fish. So just finding situations where they bite is kind of the best.
Yeah. I would say, yeah. Is there anything that you've been sharing or anything that you're willing to share about the roster for this year? Anything for this year that you feel like, you know, you have planned that you want to talk about or that you could talk about?
Well, so I'm not going to talk about anything that we'll have coming out this year. Just any of the trips, because I like to keep them fresh. And no matter how much the audience is always like, tell me where you're going. It's like, you would be mad if I told you, like, you get this surprise when videos drop, like, just wait for it and you'll be happy. So,
and they might not happen because it's winter. You're dealing with weather, so it might not happen too.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing, is we're dealing with winter, and like that year of the no winter, a lot of plans change that year. But no, based on when this is coming out, so people will have just seen, or if they haven't seen it yet, it means I'm behind. But our first video the last video we posted last year was the 3.5 pounder that Griff caught, which was episode 7 of season 5. And we've kind of been like half a season behind for the past 2 years now because of that one ice year where there was no ice. And it's just on the content schedule, we've been behind. And last year we ended up going to Montana. And we spent 11 days in Montana filming, and it was incredible. And the videos are going to be awesome. We had so much fun. And I'm really excited for everyone to see them. But I was going to post them last year. And then if everybody remembers, like, we were having this great ice fishing winter, and it was awesome. And I was about to post the first video at the end of February. And then all of a sudden I looked at the forecast, and like the first week of March was supposed to be like 40 degrees. I looked at the next week and it was supposed to be like 45. And I was like, okay, cool. We're going to be able to late ice fish in beautiful weather for the next month, but nobody's going to watch any of these videos.
Yep.
So, kind of for me, it's always been, and I kind of, for the audience too, right? I would rather put it out like when people are hyped and want to watch it. So like, I'm going to put it out over the next month, kind of in November here, everybody will get to see a bunch of that. And then the plan this year and kind of every year moving forward, is just trying to get, we're going to try to get all the Chronicles episodes out that year. And then I'll save some other content and some other things for the following falls, but I really want to get caught up because I'm sick of not being caught up right now. But yeah, I think in terms of videos coming out right now to get people hyped for ice fishing, there should be a bunch of Montana content coming for people.
What else is that? Is that just crappie stuff? You go to Montana now, you kind of got my gears turning. Is there maybe going to be a multi-species situation going on, or what can you tell me there?
Yeah, and I can elaborate on that for all the listeners. Yeah, I would say so. Like, it's in the trailer and everything that'll come out, or that has come out, whatever.
Yeah, I guess in real time when people are listening to this, they've seen it.
Yeah, this trip will be a little bit of the Crappie Chronicles kind of going rogue. There's crappies in Montana. We're chasing crappies. And yeah, we go have a lot of fun doing it, but also people know Montana is this like paradise of the West that is very unexplored. Jason's been to Fort Peck. There's quite a few people that have been to Fort Peck for the lake trout and stuff, but there's Montana's huge. There's yes. A lot of water out there and a lot of things going on. And kind of for us, it had been a thing where, you know, we've been doing this for 5 years. And like, we kind of got the monkey off our back a bit, catching those two 17s. And we're like, okay, we kind of deserve this. Like, I want to go fish for some other species and just see what we run into and everything. So, yeah, the trip is, there's going to be a lot of different stuff. There's a lot of us just going fishing and running into whatever we run into while in the pursuit of chasing trophy crappies in Montana. And there's also like diversions where we're like, we're going and doing this today, and there is zero chance we're running into a crappie. Yeah. So there's a little bit of everything in there. That's also kind of why I wanted to save it for the fall, is it's a little bit different than what we do normally. It's a little bit of a treat for everybody, including ourselves, but also like once we get into the ice season in December and stuff, like the Crappie Chronicles is going to be back to crappie fishing. Like we will be doing the crappie stuff. You'll still see videos where like when we went up to Otter Tail County and we ran into giant bluegills, and like there was a few crappies in the video, but it was largely just a giant bluegill show. People are still going to get episodes like that where we run into stuff, but it's not going to be like where the what you'll see in all these Montana videos where we're like, we're chasing crappies, but this is definitely, there's a lot of other stuff going on right now that's pretty cool.
Well, while we still have a little bit of time, I just want to throw a little bit of love at all the other projects that you got Pass the Barb podcast, and also too, like, you're constantly doing those fundraisers for St. Jude's. And I've kind of always, like, you know, following your social media, I've kind of, you know, like sort of understood that that was a thing. Didn't really know much about it until, you know, that video that you talked about earlier, that St. Jude video, the bass fishing tournament, like, that's like a phenomenal piece of content. Hopefully anybody, even if you're into bass fishing or not, go to Bart's YouTube channel and watch all the stuff. But the Jude video will definitely catch you. Phenomenal stuff, man. I kind of wanted to give that a little bit of love too. Now, even if it's the wrong time of year, we'll get back to it the next time I have you on too. But just to kind of throw out some of those projects and things that you're always involved in that I think are super cool.
Yeah. No, well, it's a good time to talk about it actually, because our fundraiser this year is changing from the end of the year to the beginning of the year.
Oh, perfect.
So I kind of got to get it out to as many people as I can right now, but it'll get out in the videos too. But yeah, if you want to see what all the St. Jude fundraising and everything we do every year goes to, watch the Jude film I put out. It's a bass tournament in Wabasha, Minnesota that's been going on for like 27 years now, I think. It's 100 anglers that raise, all the teams raise money for St. Jude. So I think in its history, it's raised like $8.5 or $8.7 million for St. Jude. Last year, I think it raised like $1.1, maybe a little bit more. I can't remember from the video, but either way, all that's in there. And, Yeah, so that's what kind of the fundraising we do here is for as well, is we use the Chronicles to fundraise money for this tournament and for St. Jude. And also, like, it's a good way to give back. Like, that's kind of always been my thing, too, with content creation and just a lot of this stuff out there. Speaking for myself and kind of the guys, we like creating a community around the Chronicles. We feel very lucky to kind of have gotten the platform we've gotten. You know, we work hard for it, but it's all because of fans. Like, realistically, we're not going to have an income and go get to do all this cool stuff if it wasn't for fans. So we like to be able to hang out with them and interact with them as much as we can. And kind of the charity part is that's been something I've been involved with St. Jude longer. It just kind of naturally ended up fitting together with the Chronicles now, and the guys help fundraise for it too. And yeah, I just think it's a more thing, a bigger thing that a lot of content creators could do, kind of giving back with their platforms. I don't think nearly enough of them do. I know we're all busy in a rat race of trying to pay our own bills and everything, but there is bigger stuff going on as well. So with that, kind of with the St. Jude fundraiser we're doing this year. So this year we moved it to, it's Saturday, December 6th. Which for people that know, that is the St. Paul Ice Show. Mm-hmm. So this year I literally rented out Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. So we are basically throwing a giant party at Tom Reed's. That's, I'll call it what it is, but it's for the kids. So we're going to be having a bunch of fun. I can only allow in 200 people, I think it is, based on fire code or it's 250, but I'm only selling 200 tickets because we also have like us, family, friends, other people that are a part of actually putting it on. So there's like a literal head count I have to have of people going in. So I'm selling 200 tickets to the general public. They're $100 a piece to get in. You get dinner, you get a free drink, live music. And then also, like, I mean, some of the biggest pros in ice fishing are going to be there hanging out, having beers. Like, I mean, all the Chronicles guys will be there. Sobey's going to be there. Walleye Will's going to be there. Hunter Nitty's going to be there. TJ Erickson's going to be there. Brett McComas is going to be there. Like,
phenomenal hang. Oh my gosh.
I could go through so many people. Alex Reslock's going to be there. I could go through so many people that are going to be there. So, with that said, there's only 200 tickets available for the general public. They're going to sell out really fast. They go on sale on Monday, November 10th, I believe it is, at noon on the Crappie Chronicles merch website. Once they're sold out, they're sold out. There's literally going to be like security at the door. If you do not have a ticket, you are not on the list. I am sorry, but you can't come in. And it's not because I don't want you there and I don't want you to help us fundraise money. But it's because I cannot allow more than that in because of fire code. So, yeah. And then once you're in there, like, dude, Grain Belt donated a couple kegs of beer. Giesenbroy donated a couple kegs of beer for Break Your PB. That's the brewery we work with in the winter. And then we got a bunch of prizes. Like, yeah, man, it's gonna be sick. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And if people like don't even have the ability to attend something like that, what are some other ways that they could chip into you?
Okay, so some other ways that are going to be happening is, well, one, there's like an online fundraising page that people can just donate at. I'll have it linked in the description of some of the Chronicles YouTube videos coming up. And it'll also be, I think it's also in the description of the event tickets if they go to the Crappie Chronicles website. But another fun way for people to participate if they want to, we're going to be selling Ice Fishing Saves Lives t-shirts, which is what we did last year as well, on Black Friday. So all proceeds, one from the ticket sales, two from the event, three from the shirts, all proceeds go to St. Jude. We aren't making a dime off of this. We donate it all to St. Jude. So you can buy a t-shirt there. And then another thing you can do is the week of the St. Paul Ice Show, so from December 1st through December 6th, throwing a lot of dates and a lot of information out right now. But that week, there is going to be 11, I think it's 11, eBay auctions that are going to go up from the 1st through the 6th. These are all donated guide trips, where all proceeds are going to be going to St. Jude's as well. So, like, for example, there'll be a Crappie Chronicles experience where you and some friends can come out fishing with us and chase some giant crappies, and Pink will cook some food. There will also be, like, Leesburg Outdoors, our buddy Josh Leesburg, he donated a full day up to four people, Upper Red Lake crappie trip, trophy guide trip. That's a $1,000 guide trip he donated. People can bid on. Matt Johnson has a half day Metro guide trip. Alex Reslock's doing a Devil's Lake trip. Brett McComas is doing an open water walleye trip in the Brainerd Lakes area. I'm doing a smallmouth bass trip. Dude, there's going to be a bunch of those guide trips. So if people like really want to get out with one of these people or one of these pros, and they want to, you know, throw down money that they normally would for a guide trip, it'll be an eBay silent auction on eBay that people can just bid on, and it'll close that night of that fundraiser.
Yeah, I think that stuff is awesome, because not everybody's going to be in the cities, probably, you know, you guys are already going to have a good turnout for that, but you know, I think it's awesome that you guys are able to kind of incorporate that into like your merch stuff. You know, people want to donate a little bit of money, but you get a t-shirt out of it, and you know, you can just kind of throw a few bucks that way. Definitely something I'll be participating in. You know, shout out the guys. I'll, you know, as the season rolls on here and when we start getting some ice, hopefully before we even start fishing, but even if fishing gets going, I'll definitely be, I'll definitely be hitting the guys up, you know, the rest of the crew to come on and talk fishing and stuff like that. But, so we'll try to get some updates on how things are going throughout the season. But yeah, anything else that we got to throw up to wrap this up?
No, I mean, one shout out to all the fans who have watched the Chronicles for 5 years now, heading into season six. Keeps growing, keeps getting bigger, and we got a lot more tricks up our sleeves. So we're going to keep doing things that are going to keep it fresh. Also, like you mentioned, shout out to like Griff, Waldo, and Pink. I mean, we've been doing this as a team for over 5 years now. We're heading into year six. Like, as most people know, with online content creation and everything, like, typically teams don't last that long, or group projects and stuff like that, because life gets in the way. And just huge shout out to them for we've all been buddies for a long time, but they're people maybe think that all these creators make all this money. We don't. We do it for a lot of the passion and getting after it. Those three guys have regular jobs, and they keep coming back and just wanted to keep doing it. And I'm just forever thankful to them for chasing this for as long as they have, and also like being selfless in the sense of like stepping back and creating it kind of as a team, and knowing like, hey, we're great as a whole group. We want to keep doing it as a whole group. And that takes special people, as you know, from having seen a lot of different programs come in and come out of the fishing industry.
For sure.
Whenever there's multiple people involved, it can get a little dicey and a little hairy at times. So shout out to those guys for kind of always just keeping the head down, getting after it, and just looking at the bigger picture and ultimately just having fun, man. That's really what it comes down to for us. We're doing this because we have fun doing it. We love traveling around catching fish, teaching people how to catch fish. And we plan on doing it for as long as we can, as long as sponsors will keep paying our travel bills and wanting us to go do it, you know?
That's a great spot to sign off. I'm glad we got it.